Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back. Final hour of the program. And with the game getting underway, we're going to talk some football here on the final hour of the show. Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline is Matt Waldman, rookie scouting combine portfolio creator. I had a tweet the other day saying that Nick Chubb was the highest grade of any back he studied in the past 5 years. And so let's start there, Matt, because you know, all the talks have been about Saquon Barkley. We've heard so many people say this guy's the next once-of-a-generation back. You're saying Nick Chubb gets the best grade of any back you've scouted for the last 5 years?
Yeah, and, you know, it seems like a crazy statement to make, but, you know, been doing this for about 13 years, and over that time, even a little bit before, I remember when Ricky Williams was going to be Barry Sanders at 230 pounds, and there was this back out of Miami by the name of Edgerrin James who came out in that same class. I also remember grading two backs who I thought one of them would be a generational back by the name of Adrian Peterson, but there was a back that I thought was a little bit more game ready, didn't fumble as much, a little bit more mature between the tackles by the name of Marshawn Lynch. They both had great careers. Well, here we are. Saquon Barkley, great back. Could be a generational back if you get him in the right situation. But he also has a chance to be a little bit like Reggie Bush when you think about Reggie Bush trying to take the world on his shoulders and bouncing things outside too much, trying to reverse field, not always being the most mature player. Now, a lot of guys grow out of that. Jamal Charles did. LeSean McCoy did. But then you take a look at a guy like Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb is an extremely mature runner. When you look at his combine and the metrics there, you see that he's not that far away from Saquon Barkley. He's either his equal or slightly less in terms of acceleration, change of direction, quickness, long speed. And it's mostly the long speed where he's a little bit behind. I mean, this is a guy who's 2 years removed from three ligament tears. Now, the guy that he would tell, you know, I think he told the Cleveland Browns Network that he was, you know, compared to a lot is Frank Gore. And, you know, Larry Coker, the former head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, who had recruited Frank Gore, also recruited for Oklahoma State. And he said that Frank Gore, when he recruited Frank Gore and watched him in high school, Frank Gore was the best running back in high school that he ever saw, period. And he recruited Barry Sanders to Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Frank Gore suffered two knee injuries and wasn't the same athlete. But we see now that Frank Gore is the guy that NFL coaches, running back coaches, basically use his tape to share with young pros on how to run the ball, and the guy's still cranking it out in his mid-30s. He's an excellent back. Nick Chubb, to me, is the closest back that I've seen to pre-injury Frank Gore. You know, he's a much better receiver than you'd expect. He's got great burst. He understands how to read all types of blocking schemes. He's a better inside runner than Sony Michel, his former teammate. Michel was on the field more as a receiver, and you saw him a lot in nickel sets. But when Nick Chubb came in the game, they loaded the box against him, and he still produced. He has great after-contact balance. The Browns got a terrific back. He may not have the career Barkley has if Barkley gets a chance to run an outside zone with the weapons that they have, and they can spread the field and give him easier looks. But when you're talking about grading players based on what the skill sets are for the running back position across the board and not for a specific team fit, Nick Chubb grades out just slightly better, even if you can look at Saquon Barkley and say, well, any fool can see how he could be a generational talent.
Matt Waldman joins us, rookie scouting portfolio. Of course, the creator, and we're talking to Nick Chubb right now because his tweet got us interested because of his grade on the running back. I guess I'd say this to you. You know, they spent a second-round pick on Chubb. The Browns have Carlos Hyde here, who they just signed in free agency, and they also have Duke Johnson. Would you be surprised if Chubb didn't beat out Hyde and win that starting job and get most of the carries this year?
No, I wouldn't be surprised, actually, because – we can go back to a guy like Frank Gore, who was sitting behind Kevin Barlow and a few other guys and had to work his way into that. And he was a third-round pick, despite, you know, a lackluster senior year where he was still dealing with a second ACL tear and he hadn't fully healed yet. When you take a look at this situation, Carlos Hyde is just a slightly slower Nick Chubb in terms of, you know, in terms of his speed and acceleration and change of direction quickness. He's a very good back. But you have to understand that also Duke Johnson is, what, in the final year of his contract? It expires in 2019. You know, they're changing over the offense in terms of Todd Haley. You're going to see more of his influence. And Todd Haley runs a lot of diverse sets. And when you think about, you know, he runs a lot of gap. He'll run some zone. He likes to do a lot of different things. And when you look at the backs that he's had success with, they're explosive, load-carrying backs who can do pretty much everything that you expect them to do, and they're breakaway threats who have great agility and good contact balance and understand how to run all the varying types of schemes, because unfortunately there are a lot of backs in the league who are really good at zone but don't know how to run gap. And there are some backs who only run gap and really get confused about how to run zone because they're opposite approaches in how you diagnose the blocking scheme. Chubb can do both. Todd Haley, on the initial phone call, the draft day, he knows what he's getting. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was a big part of why they picked Nick Chubb, because he basically talked to Chubb, and the first thing he said is, you know, I love backs who can take it the distance from anywhere on the field, and you're my kind of guy. And when you look at Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Charles, they seem like very different backs in terms of physical build. Of what they have in common is the things that I stated, you know, earlier, and Nick Chubb also fits in there with that. I would not be surprised. He will be a contributor this year as long as he stays healthy. I don't have any doubt about that. And I wouldn't be surprised if he takes it over outright because he is a better athlete than Hyde, but pass protection will be the big deal there. He's a good one, but, you know, scheme and different types of assignments and protections that occur in the league are different than what you see in even the SEC. And as good as Chubb is as a pass protector, that's going to be the part where he will probably, you know, they'll be a little bit more cautious with him. Last year, Kareem Hunt, you know, he failed that test in the preseason against Seattle. The guy couldn't even protect backside, you know, against the defensive back. And while it was Cam Chancellor, you got to understand that once he failed that test, they were like, we are not going to use him on the edge like that, and we're not going to really even use him as a blocker at all this year. I think Chubb's a better blocker than Kareem Hunt, but that's going to be the key for him. And if it doesn't work out this year, it's only about, you know, learning the protections, and then he'll be ready next year.
We're talking with Matt Waldman, the rookie scouting portfolio. Matt, let's go from running back to quarterback. You know, the way Baker Mayfield's agent talks, you'd think every team wanted to take Baker Mayfield first. But it seems like, at least publicly, there was a lot of discussion about who was the top quarterback. I heard arguments made mostly for Darnold and Mayfield and Allen, Rosen as well, to a lesser degree. When you looked at the four quarterbacks, how did you see them, and do you think the Browns got it right?
It's a great question, and yeah, you know, agents sell the dream. You know? So when we take a look at this, Baker Mayfield, I think, was a good decision for the Browns. It wouldn't be the decision, you know, in terms of just straight-up talent that I would, but I don't know the specific details of what the Browns were looking for here. And Todd Haley will run, you know, oftentimes be able to run, you know, quick-hitting passing game based off, you know, run fakes and what the run game does with all the diversity of shifts and pre-snap motion. And that really fits with what Baker Mayfield does well. He's a, you know, when you can allow him to drop, set, and fire and throw that ball quickly, get it out there and use a lot of play fakes or design rollouts and movement, that's where he thrives, you know. And he does have a good enough deep arm that if you want him to throw it up the rails or be aggressive, you know, up the flats, He can do that. He's got enough arm strength to on that level. The deep post, I have questions about, and a lot of pro sets really do depend on the quarterback being able to threaten that deep post. So if he has issues with that, I'm going to have some concerns with him, and I do have a little bit of concerns about him in the college game. You know, oftentimes he doesn't have, you know, Pro Football Focus will say he has pinpoint accuracy, but the way that pinpoint accuracy is charted, there's so much variation with that from person to person. The fact that Mike Holmgren had to be corrected by, you know, Bill Walsh when he was a quarterback coach in San Francisco on, you know, telling Joe Montana that he threw a perfect post to Jerry Rice, and Walsh lectured him on saying, don't ever tell him that because what you just showed him wasn't pinpoint. This is what pinpoint is. This is what I expect. Mayfield hasn't been pinpoint in that arena, and when he has to move around the pocket, reset and fire, he struggles there. When he's facing tight man coverage, he struggled with his accuracy. So I'm a little worried about some of the transitions to the game early on when he's asked to drop and go through numerous reads and move around a little bit in an NFL pocket, reset and fire, which is really the key from being a competent NFL starter to a really good one. But I think he can be at no worse than a competent NFL starter, which is a big step for Cleveland in the past several years.
No doubt about it. Matt Waldman is our guest, the rookie scouting portfolio. Matt, let's talk about the fourth pick, Denzel Ward. It surprised us that the Browns went the other direction and didn't take the pass rusher in Bradley Chubb. They take Ward at four. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, it did a little bit, but I understand that they want a shutdown corner, that they want someone that, you know, you're looking at the division and you see A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, you know, Michael Crabtree in this division, and they're going to face, you know, these teams six times in a year. You need somebody who's going to be able to shut down the primary receiver for the opposite team. And when you have Myles Garrett and you feel like that you're going to be able to generate a pass rush, the key is that you do want to have shutdown corners. And, you know, as an old Browns fan from the 1970s and mid-80s, you know, I certainly understand on one hand that the value of having shutdown corners and how that can aid your pass rush and kind of be a, you know, a reciprocal arrangement. At the same time, you know, as a father, having a father who lives in Denver, Colorado, I don't like seeing them get Bradley Chubb either.
Yeah, that was a little disappointing. Matt, let's talk about Antonio Callaway. He was the Browns' fourth-round pick. Obviously, a ton of off-the-field issues, arrests, suspensions, drugs, all in the mix. I keep hearing people say, well, but he's a first-round talent, so it's worth the risk in the fourth round. Do you agree? Is he a first-round talent?
Well, if you think about old school ways of the way people grade wide receivers, which is you can see in the past four drafts has changed a lot, is that they look at guys who have good size, who have the proper, you know, a certain level of height and weight and speed, and can they catch the ball with good hand-eye coordination, and they think the rest is just teachable, and, you know, they project them to the first round. Equanimeous St. Brown, a player I had ranked 22nd my pre-draft publication, which was pretty darn low, even though I still think of him as a potential contributor. He's a guy that, you know, someone like Mike Mayock had in his top five, but, you know, folks were confused that he dropped to the sixth round of the draft. But that's because the league is going more to spread sets. They're using smaller guys who are more technically sound. They're not just looking at projection players. And Antonio Callaway has a lot of good, you know, he has an intuitive feel for transitioning from catching the ball to, you know, a runner. He's an excellent runner. He's a good special teams player. I think he's very creative. Route running, he needs to develop the full route tree, get off press a little bit better. So I think he's more of a projection in terms of the way people grade first-round talents. But he certainly has first-round upside. It's just that some people, you know, like to say, you know, he's going to get to the other side of this canyon, and they don't know how the bridge is going to get built.
Hey, last question for me. The Browns drafted this guy, Austin Corbett, out of Nevada in the second round, first pick in the second round. And we had to, like, kind of Google him because we were surprised that they took this guy we hadn't really heard much about, who played guard and tackle at Nevada. We assume he's going to play left tackle and try to replace Joe Thomas, and the Browns have said they'll start him out there. But if he doesn't, I think that's a big miss in the second round. What do you know anything about Corbett?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he is that type of player that they've what they're looking for is someone that can give them a little bit of both. Someone who can give some continuity to a line and play well in both regards. And I know that that's something that, you know, when we're looking at it from the outside in, that's a little bit of a scary investment for such a high pick. But at the same time, he is a competent run player. He's someone that has shown some signs of developing into a good pass protector. And the fact of the matter is that teams, more than anything these days, we're looking at, because of spread sets and nickel defenses and how teams run, you know, do different things with pass and run, guard has become just as important as tackle in this league. And so it's no longer just left tackle. They're great. You know, Joe Thomas was, you know, such a great player, but he was picked at the end of that era and kind of the transition between the, you know, the, you got to have the left tackle to, you know what, guard's pretty darn important. Center is vital. You know, and the way that we vary run blocking and pass blocking these days with these spread sets, I think it's a smart pick, but it's not one that you're going to be able to convince fans is okay unless he just shines in one position.
Matt, we appreciate the time. Great insight. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, fellas.
All right, good to chat with Matt Waldman. Some great insight on the draft there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.